Now notice the position that God has. He's in the center of this view of time, this Catholic Christian view of time. If you notice, God is equally present to me now in this day, on this day in history, as he is to Adam and Eve. God is truly present to every moment of history. He is present to every moment of his creation. Right now, God is truly present to Noah, to Moses, to the kings, to King Solomon. He is present to the rise of Rome and everything that took place. He is there. It is happening in the eyes of God because God calls himself and defines himself as the I am. There is no yesterday for God. There is no tomorrow for God. Everything is now. And so time here continues. After Christ's birth and his life and his passion, his death and resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, we have the fall of Rome. From the fall of Rome, we have all of these things taking place, and God is present to them. He is present to the birth of Jesus. Right now, Jesus is being born in the stable of Bethlehem. Right at this moment, Jesus is hanging on the cross. At this very moment, Christ is being laid into the tomb. God is present to this. Right now, God is present to every moment of history, the Dark Ages, the Renaissance, everything, everything, including our own death. He is not only present and here at my life in this moment, but he's also present to my death. Now, when we look at all of these different elements and where God is, this is the great truth. This is the mysterium fidei, the great mystery of our faith. When we enter into the life of God through baptism, when we confirm that through the Holy Eucharist, we have this Trinity, this great I am dwelling within us. For wherever Christ is, there is the Father. Wherever the Father and Christ is, there is the Holy Spirit. So the indwelling of the Trinity draws us into his I am. And so therefore at the Mass, I don't look back 2,000 years to the Christ who suffered, died, and rose from the dead. I am literally at Calvary. I become present to the moment Christ was hanging on that cross. And 2,000 years ago, Christ saw me there. This is what gives prayer its value. That is why contemplatives could reach such great heights of love, because they knew that they could just pick any time they wanted to visit. If they had pain, they would meet Jesus in the prison. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus saw them there. He heard them. And when they offered their pain in union with his, some of his pain was diminished. That is what gives suffering its power. That's why it makes sense. That's why the words of Paul make sense when he says, I make up in my body the sufferings lacking in that of Christ. How could these possibly make any sense to us, especially knowing that the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ was complete and total and fulfilled? Unless there is a way that we can enter back into the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. That I can participate in his passion and death. That I can become one with that great mystery. That, my brothers and sisters, is the mysterium fidei. That is the reason why we keep Christ on the cross. We don't take him off. Because he will hang on that cross until this entire thing ceases to exist when the end times come and God calls all of those who have been faithful to his side. Then the crucifix will no longer be necessary. But until the last soul is saved, Christ will remain there so that each one of us and die with him. Each one of us, through the sacrament of reconciliation, can rise again with him. That is the mystery of faith that every single one of us are privileged to participate in. It is through our baptism, through our confessions, through our constant awareness of our sinfulness, to our constant returning to God the Father through the grace and passion of Christ's death and resurrection, that we become participants in his life, passion, death, and resurrection. It is only then, it is only in and with and through this great mystery that we can truly find the peace that comes to we who call ourselves Christian. It is what gives us the strength to live our faiths, to be one with Christ at every moment of our own lives, knowing that there isn't a moment, there isn't a second, there isn't anything that we cannot unite with Christ during his passion, during his life, during his birth, during his childhood, during his adulthood, during his years of preaching, his working in a carpenter's shop with Joseph. There is nothing that we cannot identify to Christ with Christ and united with him. For this reason, we call ourselves Catholics. Let us study this great mystery. Let us become one with this great mystery. Let us live our lives in such a way that this great truth will become part of our lives, so that our crosses will make sense, that we'll see value in the sufferings that we can't escape, even the sufferings that we wish we could get out of. Just unite them with Christ, knowing that he hears you, not in some throne up in heaven, but he hears you as he suffers the cross, as he is being scourged. You unite with him. That is the great hope and peace and joy that comes through knowing this Christ who allows us through his great generosity and goodness to become one with him in everything, in his life, in his passion, and thanks be to God in his resurrection. This is why I say it separates us. It makes us different from all those who surround us, because what we have is something greater here. We are not historians. We will not be just lookers to the past, people who focus on what happened. For if it remains an historical event, it cannot touch us at all deep within the recesses of our soul. Unless there is a key to open up the portal that unites us with Christ, and that key is grace. That key is sanctifying grace. That key is baptism. That key is the forgiveness of our sins, the reconciliation, confession. That key is the Eucharist. For the Eucharist is Christ. The Eucharist gives us Christ. The Eucharist gives us the ability to live and suffer and die with Christ. And as I've said, to rejoice one day in the resurrection with him. This is what we must understand is the great gift, the great inheritance that each one of us have been given. Don't look at our inheritance as being something that is just in heaven. Our inheritance starts upon this earth. And a great and holy man once said to me during a retreat, "We are already in heaven if only we had the eyes to see. Not that this is a utopia, but that through these mysteries, heaven truly dwells within us, inside of the self. And we now have what Adam and Eve lost. They thrust God out from within, and God comes rushing back again through the Eucharist. How can you live without it? How can we survive without his body, blood, soul, and divinity? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, Jesus says, you have no life in you. But he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him, and I will raise him on the last day. This is what it means to be a Roman Catholic Christian. God love you.